This night is just continues to go downhill.
Acknowledge me.
About time you did something right.
Oh, see, I just can't stand.
Who in the hell do you think you are?
Ooh, nothing. Don't get near. Ooh, I'll tell you. Ooh.
Dude, I want justice.
Does this job come with hazard pay, King?
Yes.
We got a new hit.
Yes.
Kids, don't try this at home.
Ladies and gentlemen, before we get into the wrestling for this evening, I want to speak of a very influential artist that we lost this week. Akira Toriyama, the creator of Dragon Ball, the artist for Dragon Warrior and Chrono Trigger, as well as a host of other series that I could sit here and list, Sandland and Kijika come to mind, passed away unexpectedly at the age of 68. As you know, that Dragon Ball is a worldwide phenomenon and has bled slightly into wrestling because we know that some wrestlers are nerds.
Yeah. Duh. Yeah.
After all, the New Day wore unicorn horns and Saiyajin armor. There's a weird picture out there of Karrion Kross wearing a Vegeta armor T-shirt. It doesn't look real. A couple other people have taken inspiration from there. And as an artist outside of wrestling, I was very influenced by Toriyama Sensei. Rest in peace, sir. Your legacy is assured.
Including Otonod, by the way, who we talk about every week. Otonod is one of the most influential of them. Who does that? Okay.
Yep. And Naoto Tahes is not as known, but does a lot of Dragon Ball inspired stuff. So, you know, anime fan or no, you have seen Toriyama Sensei's work. And I know there's another artist, Toyotaro, I believe, who does art for Dragon Ball now. So,
well, there's still a lot of works, hands in the fire. You know, the Dragon Ball will not pass away, and Toriyama's influence will not pass away.
No. So I will read one more thing, and then there won't be a dry eye in the house. A tribute was posted by Masako Nozawa, who is the voice of Goku in the Japanese versions,
and everybody else in Goku's male lives.
Family. Yeah. And has been doing this since day one, which means we're going all the way back to 1986. Further, I don't know. She was saddened by his passing as well. My head is empty because I don't want to think about it. Even so, every time I see Goku, I remember what Toriyama Sensei said to me. You will take care of Goku, won't you?
Damn.
I cherish that moment. It makes me think I will stay by Goku's side until my strength runs out completely. Sensei, please watch over us from the heavens. God damn it, I knew I couldn't read that. So much I could talk about with that. But this is a wrestling show.
Yes, so, and we have a lot of people, you know, who'd like to hang out with us and talk wrestling. First of all, of course, we have our sound guy from New Jersey.
We have a sound guy that must be from New Jersey or something.
VRM, how are you doing?
And that clip is very important this week.
Oh, yeah, that clip is like number one of our top stories of the week.
Interesting. Mm. Okay.
And then, of course, our numbers guy, Snap Boy, how are you?
Tired, bit of a sore throat right now, but that's because I just got back from the hockey game.
What level?
ECHL.
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. And of course, the guy who... did you actually get to see the Dead Man show in Australia, Shane? Did you? I hope you did. If you can unmute.
Yes, I was there live and in person.
Awesome. And did you get to ask questions?
That's a touchy subject. I didn't get to ask questions, no, because Undertaker's manager or whoever the fuck he was, I don't care. He was mainly grabbing everybody from the first four fucking rows. He couldn't walk his lazy ass up some stairs to get some others, but that's neither here nor there.
But was it a good show? Because it's coming to Philly.
Absolutely. He said at the end of the show, I will be back. So if he comes here again next year, I will be going again.
Awesome. Terrific. But Nikki, let's start off with, play that clip one more time, VRM.
We have a sound guy that must be from New Jersey or something.
Yes, because the WWE announced not one, not two, but three candidates for the Hall of Fame. The two that I will talk about first is the US Express, which is Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Bull Nakano. Okay.
Yes.
But your head of the class is your dear Uncle Paul Heyman. What are your thoughts on that?
Much deserved. He was very influential in the 90s. After all, he's the one who gave WWF the idea for hardcore and extreme.
Mm-hmm. And you even have to go back even further to the 80s with the Dangerous Alliance, if you really want to go back that far. Mm-hmm. And of course, the WWE had a working relationship with ECW, with the rumors that WWF was funding the WWE, allegedly.
Funding ECW.
Yes, allegedly, I think. But
I think, well, didn't Paul, Heyman and Vince pretty much confirm that when they were doing like the rise and fall of ECW documentary, saying that we had an agreement with WWE. They would take some of our borrow some of our talents for their shows, and they helped us out on our end.
Mm-hmm. And I was at the ECW Invasion in 1997.
Yes.
Okay. At the Hammerstein.
Yeah, that was the original with Dreamer and RVD originally, wasn't it?
Yeah, and
Go ahead.
Was Taz? I don't remember who actually.
Wasn't that the night that Sabu fell off the set?
Yes. Uh huh. That one.
Okay.
But of course, you know, his influence, you know, the Booker, you know, back in SmackDown in the early 2000s, right?
Right.
SmackDown 6.
And then, of course, he became, you know, managers, advocates to people like Brock Lesnar. Ryback for a cup of coffee, I believe.
Thank you for reminding me.
Which we'll get to that in a minute. Okay. Yeah, right. CM Punk. And guy. Right, go ahead.
CM Punk is the one who coined Paul Heyman guy, I believe.
I believe that is correct. Yes, I'm a Paul Heyman guy.
Claudio for a hot second.
Right, Claudio.
And I think... you said Kurt Saxel, never mind.
Yeah. And then the moment during the pandemic where the wrestling world has still not recovered from.
Nor have I.
Where Roman Reigns is sitting in the back of the locker room and, he turns to his right, and there is Paul Heyman. And for the last 4 years has been the wise man and the advocate, right?
Mm-hmm.
Special counsel.
Special counsel. To the reigning, defending WWE Universal Champion for the last 1,300 days or so. So, Nikki, who puts him in?
This might give Punk something to do.
Uh-huh.
I think Punk would be an interesting choice just because he would be able to talk about it from a fan perspective and from a wrestler perspective.
Mm-hmm.
As he's somebody who grew up watching ECW. His first televised match was in Hammerstein. Against Justin Credible.
Yes. Yep.
And I've watched that recently, and you can legit see tears in his eyes.
Mm-hmm.
That's how much it meant to him. And, you know, he still holds on to that. And since he can't perform, he can't get in the ring, let him talk. We need someone as loquacious as my dear Uncle Paul, to put my dear Uncle Paul in the Hall of Fame.
Well, Punk's definitely my top three for who should induct Paul Heyman into the WWE Hall of Fame.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, there's another guy who can talk, who has a lot of history with Paul, and... owes Paul a lot, and that's Stone Cold Steve Austin.
That's a great choice too.
I can't say no to that.
My top three are Tommy Dreamer, Stone Cold, and Punk.
Well, would Tommy be able to get away from?
Tommy actually said, "No, I'm not the right guy." He said it on Busted Open. He said it. Nope. Not me. He said Austin or Punk.
Yeah.
I would think Bully Ray would be a good choice too, by the way.
Would Bully Ray actually acquiesce to do something with the Fed?
Sure. He's a hoe.
He's got an open relationship with WWE.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah, he's got an open relationship with WWE. He's said multiple times on Busted Open that he and WWE have, along with Devon, have a open relationship, and like he would love if they gave him the chance of doing like one last match in Philly. Because I can guarantee the roof would blow off the place for that.
Yes.
But as far as Bully Ray and talking, yes, we know Bully Ray can talk, or the man behind Bully Ray, Mark, can talk. But yeah, I think Punk or Austin would be a far better choice.
Hmm. And I'm thrilled. So who else? The rumor is that Stallone is going to be the celebrity wing, because of course Philly,
right?
Because of Rocky. I don't know who else. What about Bray Wyatt?
Yeah, IRS and Barry Windham just got confirmed to be getting inducted for the tag team portion.
We mentioned that.
Yeah.
And Bull Nakano being the
Japanese. Do you think Asuka should induct her?
I would love to hear her take.
But it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. And I believe the reason why all these older people, you know, the different ones, because Triple H is now selecting. So Triple H, you know, he's a wrestling historian, you see.
Well, why is everybody always looking at me? Hey, this booking stuff isn't easy, you know.
He's booking the Hall of Fame. That's right. Yes.
Exactly.
He's booking the Hall of Fame because now he doesn't have his father-in-law.
Right.
Telling him.
Oh, that's a segue. Hey.
Oh, it is. Go for it, VRM, because you got this.
Oh, boy. Over to the TKO Group financials. And did we cover that last week?
They made it official today.
Okay, they made it official today that Vince McMahon has just sold a ton of stock. 5.3 million shares.
Mm-hmm.
He still has about 15 million shares, but this was on the tune of, what, $412 million?
Yeah, yeah. 412. Correct.
Yeah, and that processed through the New York Stock Exchange today, and TKO has basically said he's done. We don't want him anymore. He gone, and he ain't coming back.
Damian Priest, don't you have something to say about that? I think you have that
I
one.
I thought I did. No, that's not it. I thought I downloaded it. I don't have it. I'd have to.
It's okay. It's like you're washed. You're done.
It's over.
If Priest can't say it, I'm sure Mox can say it.
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here. Piece of shit.
Right, there you go. Yep.
And if it wasn't going to be Mox.
Yeah, I want to get the exact. Yeah. This came from Mark Shapiro.
Oh, yes.
Who said, quote, "We did not participate in the recent sale of Vince McMahon's load that he dropped off. This is now his second time. He's gone from 28 million shares to 15 million shares. He now roughly has 8.5%. We're not in conversations with him. We don't know his motives, his plans, or his timeline. He doesn't work for the company, doesn't come into the office, and he's not coming back to the company."
Hell yes. Good.
So stop asking us about him.
Right, exactly. or the words are corny. Thank you. Fuck you. Bye. Okay.
Yeah.
Goodbye. You're gone. Adios, motherfucker. You're out. Okay.
And don't come back.
Oh, and by the way, don't be surprised if some of that $412 million goes to the people who are suing his ass. Okay.
I think that's why he sold the stock in the first place.
Oh, you think they're settling?
The man, don't you think Vince is an expert at hush money?
Hence why they're suing in the first place. But yes, he's definitely an expert at hush money. Yes. Oh, and by the way, I really want to put people in Room 101 and the racist wrestling fans in Room 101. Fuck them. Seriously. Yeah. Okay.
Fuck all of them. I think I know what you're talking about.
Oh yeah, because one, and I have to say this quote, and I mean, we'll put it to you this way. Someone on the WWE 2K4 Instagram page inferred that Bianca Belair got there because of her skin color. Fuck you.
Mox, get rid of this guy.
Hey, go fuck yourself. Get that guy out of here. Piece of shit.
This is the respect you show me. Enough. Solo!
Oh, my God.
Oh, see? I just can't stand.
Forever.
Okay. Speaking of WWE 2K24, it's out. And it's getting really good reviews. They're saying it's the best wrestling game in a long time. One of the reasons why is because Drew Gulak was one of the producers of the game, if I am not mistaken.
Really?
Yep.
Pulling up trying to get some of the early reviews. Metacritic right now, it's sitting at an 82.
Right.
Let's see if I can find some Steam. If it's on Steam, I don't think it is on Steam, but yep, it is on Steam.
Okay.
Steam has 561 reviews. It is mixed.
Okay.
Apparently because there is some crashing going on right now, because of course this was mostly from early access.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because there's a few packages, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know how it is.
Yeah, they just released an update for the fixes today.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. So, Drew Gulak, I got to spend a good chunk of 2023 as a director on the WWE 2K24 My Ride stories.
Ooh.
Wow. The amount of passion that these developers, writers, and actors have made for making this game fun is incredible. It's surreal to see the work realized, and I can't wait for WWE fans to play through it. By the way, the new commercial for the My Rise story is excellent. It's really good. To break down the commercial, Triple H sends you out as a member of the, you know, as you, which actually is Post Malone. And you get to get leg dropped by Hulk Hogan, speared by Roman Reigns, flipped on by Bianca, and and drop kicked by Mommy. Okay,
mm-hmm.
It's really good, and the behind the scenes video was fun too.
Yeah,
because a lot of it is CGI too.
Yeah, IGN has it at an 8. GameSpot has it at an 8. Current Google user review is at a 4.3 out of 5.
That's, well, yeah, it's supposed to be really, really, really good. And in the achievements, there is an achievement called Where's the Referee? Okay? Which is based on a story from 2018 Starcade. Cody Rhodes.
Starcast.
From Cody Rhodes. Yes.
Oh, the fuck on, yeah, fuck on me.
Yeah, fuck on me, yes.
And Matthew was right next to him on that one, literally.
As the special guest referee, end the match via pinfall with a fast count.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, Cody is just setting himself up to be just an amazing face with this. Now, speaking of Mommy, again, we're doing the non-wrestling before we get to the wrestling first. Dominic Mysterio legitimately got married this week. Okay. Mm-hmm. To his,
what did Mommy do about it? Sorry.
We'll explain. We'll explain. First of all, to his longtime girlfriend Marie, for not mistaken. So there was a TikTok that got loose showing that during Dominic's speech, he gets booed as soon as he puts the microphone to his face.
Well, I mean, half the people there are probably wrestlers or wrestling adjacent, so.
Right, exactly. But, of course, he broke kayfabe and thanked his mom and dad, so. Well,
yeah.
Maybe he did, maybe he didn't. You don't know.
No, he did. He thanked his mom and dad for being there, his sister and others. And yes, right. for those who are asking, yes, Mommy was there.
And Mommy looked gorgeous. Oh my God. Did you see the picture, Nikki?
I have not.
It's look in the chat. Look at the chat.
Yep.
All right, let me get over here.
There's a picture.
And there are more TikToks being released. Apparently, Damian Priest is a cookie fiend, apparently. This man was eating all the fucking cookies at this wedding.
Oh shit, that's Damien. That's Damien on the left?
Yes. Damien cleans up nice. Yeah.
He does. Good Lord, that's a completely different person. Mommy, I recognize. But Damien Priest, good Lord, he looks like a stockbroker.
Yeah.
Damian Priest wearing his Clark Kent glasses to hide his Superman appearance.
There you go.
No, he looks good, man. He looks really good. But yeah, so congratulations to Dominic. As long as I don't know if Buddy Murphy showed up. I don't know if Buddy was invited.
I'd laugh
too, but.
From photos that I have seen, wrestlers who were in attendance were obviously Damien and Mommy. Austin Theory was there. Those were the only ones with WWE wrestlers that I could see.
So Austin Theory got an invite. All right, fine.
Boy, they needed somebody else to boo.
Yeah. Hopefully he didn't diddle the bridesmaids. Anyway. Okay.
Will you stop?
Anyway. Yeah, exactly. So we did have a pay-per-view this weekend. Mm. And that was AEW Dynamite. Now,
not Dynamite.
AEW Revolution. I'm
thank you.
Blocking the name after someone. And this was the last from the old look. Because they re-debuted a whole new set for Dynamite this Wednesday.
Okay. Yes.
So in some of the pre-shows, the Bang Bang Singer Scissor Gang defeated Jeff Jarrett, Satnam Singh, Jay Lethal, Willie Mack, and Private Party by pinfall. Okay. Then Statlander and Nightingale defeated Julia Hart and Sky Blue via pinfall. So in the main show, Christian Cage defeated Daniel Garcia because, of course, he did. Yep. Okay. Mm-hmm. Eddie Kingston defeated Bryan Danielson, and he did shake his hand. Okay. Wardlow won the All Star Scramble, which was the for a future title shot. After that, the Meat Madness
show
got canceled. Roderick Strong is the new international champion, which we kind of called. I think we did. Mm-hmm. Moxley and Cascinoli defeated FTR and by submission. Tony Storm won. Osprey defeated Takeshita. Talk about that, VRM.
Okay. Oh, this bump. Oh my God, Tony. This is the first of two bumps.
Yeah.
Osprey laying on his head.
Yeah. Oh yeah, here it is.
That was awful.
Osprey could have easily been paralyzed by this.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I need to I have a better angle on it because I've seen it.
And everybody already is screaming, match of the year. Oh my gosh, that's an amazing match. It's like Osprey land on his head.
Yeah, he did.
That's not any good. Awesome.
And he goes, my ass is so bad, that sucked.
Yeah. Okay. And didn't he post later on, hey, I'm okay?
Yeah, he did. He did. I just have to find the video for it here.
Yeah.
Because that bump
got Matthew's attention.
Yeah, okay, just hold on. I need to look. Oof. Okay, here it is. Here it is. It's from Sean Ross Sapp. Could you share this one for me for everybody?
Yep, let me get it loaded.
And you want me to find a second bump, right? Please, while you're looking.
Please find a second bump as well. So, yeah. Behold, Osprey land on his head.
Watch this. Watch it.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Watch it again. Ooh. Oh, boy, right there. Oof.
So not only does he nearly get paralyzed from the bat from the back bump, but then he nearly breaks his neck too. Jesus Christ!
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, that's awful.
I mean, even though I just need to find the right. Here we go. I hope this is right.
The more I see shit like this.
Here is the second bump. Okay, we'll get there in a minute. Okay, so Samoa Joe wins the keeps the title, defeating Paige and Strickland. Now, oh boy, the presentation for this was absolutely spectacular. Mm-hmm. So the Young Bucks come in their suits, right? And then Sting is in a movie theater with the final showtime, and he's going through his career, showing video except for the ones for the WWE. And by the way, the rumor is that WWE wasn't even asked to show a video. Okay. Yeah. So then his two sons come out in Malibu Sting. What would you call them? Malibu Sting?
Yeah. Well, Surfer Sting, definitely.
Surfer Sting. Yeah. Right?
Yes. The red,
and then
white, and
Wolfpack
blue.
Sting. And then his original. His crow sting, which by the way he says was not inspired by the crow. Bullshit, Sting. Sorry, love you.
No,
and we cannot forget the fact that yes, while his sons came out to his AEW theme, Sting himself came out to Seek and Destroy.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes.
That's awesome. Okay, Tony points for grabbing that, but minus several million for something that happened in that damn match.
Right, okay. Yeah. So, and it was a tornado tag, and Ric Flair, who said he was pissed that he was not more involved. Dude, you're 76 and dying on the vine. Sit the fuck down, okay?
Yeah, and we don't mean by getting a super kick party.
No.
And then getting up.
Right, exactly. It's that spot during the and Darby Allin, who by the way is 2 weeks or 3 weeks away from going to Mount Everest to try and climb it. Okay, we are about to see this spot, which was absolutely the most fucked up spot I've ever seen. This is not CZW; it's AEW. Show it. Courtesy of. So
we've got the super stunt ladder. One of the Bucks is laying on not a table, but a pane of glass that is
a real pane of glass. A real pane of glass, by the way.
Cry me a river.
Somewhere in Japan, Jack Perry was watching that and saying, fuck these guys.
Yeah, right, yeah. Exactly. I'll go join the House of Torture.
Yeah. They're like, it is propped up on a couple of steel chairs, and then this happens.
Oh, Darby is
Jesus!
God! Yeah. Wow.
Stupid bastard.
Sting. Even Drake Younger will say, you stupid bastard.
Watch it again. Here we go. Different angle.
Wow.
Yeah. And one more time.
Mistaken.
People got hurt. Legit hurt from that.
He wound up with 12 stitches after that. Only 12. Yes.
Only 12? And did they, how much hydrogen peroxide they pour on his back afterwards?
Probably at least two full bottles, at least.
Oh.
I've seen stuff like this in person. His back was probably hamburger.
Yeah, Darby, yeah. You stupid bastard. Okay.
Please.
Yeah.
For the love of God, get out of the ring before they cancel the show.
And the fact that Sting won. The Sting and Darby Allin won, which is leading to a tournament, by the way.
Yeah,
because of course it is.
From what I understood from the dirt sheets, it came out that Sting did not want to go out like that.
No, he did not.
He wanted to go out on his back, but there were three people who said, uh-uh, the Bucks and Tony.
That would be, the Young Bucks, Tony, and I think Darby said it too, if I'm not mistaken as well. They're like, no.
Sure,
but yeah, the Young Bucks said, no, dude, you know, we may be assholes on camera, but we actually like you, you know? Mm-hmm. But, oh my goodness. Wow.
Mm-hmm. Just, yeah, Darby Allin, you stupid child.
No, but it's not Darby. It's not Darby's fault.
It's Tony.
No, fuck no. I won't even blame Tony. There's something that was said in Taker's One Dead Man show that I 100% fucking agree with.
Oh, okay. I'm interested in hearing this. Sure.
Mark was asked a question of you know, if he was in this generation of wrestling, like, would he change anything about his gimmick or how would he adapt to the wrestling of today? And he said, quite frankly, he wouldn't. He'd do exactly as he was because today's fucking wrestling can't do storytelling. And that's why they do these flips and all these other crazy ass shit. Which desensitizes the fans and makes them have to keep pushing the limits further and further, like, because they can't tell a story. And this match is exactly proof of that, is that you had a great enough story as it is. This was Sting's last match. This was a man
and
who's
you
been
had old, you had right. And you had old school people there, like Ricky Steamboat.
Yeah, Ricky Steamboat there, Lex Luger, friggin' Ric Flair. You had so many guys who were there to support him. There was enough of a story there to the point where you guys could have had a fucking clean tag team match and done your normal moves and stuff that didn't require any, like, stupid bullshit like that. And fans would have gone out happy. And fans would have been like, it would have been like Shawn Michaels and Ric Flair at fucking Mania.
Yes. Oh, and by the way, the Bucks even said, what was I about to say? They even Pat referenced that. They said, we're not sorry. We hate you, as they super kicked Ric Flair, if I'm not mistaken.
Which actually I think is amusing. Personally, I think that's rather amusing. But goddamn.
Because Mark said these guys are taking These guys are going to take years off their career before they've even made big pay-per-view events or anything.
Darby has taken at least a decade off his career.
He's just in his AEW stuff. I've seen him just not give a fuck. You know, Jeff Hardy's going, man, what the hell, dude? I mean, right?
When Jeff Hardy is saying, what the hell?
When Jeff Hardy says, what the hell? When Mox is saying, what the hell? You might want to dial it down a little bit.
I mean, that bump card, man. Seriously.
Like, and not even that, but that the fucking bump with Ospreay and Takeshita. I don't know if that was fucking planned or if that was just an accident. But
that was an accident.
That was an accident.
That was fucked. Like Will Ospreay should be thanking every god in the world or whoever he prays to. That he did not become that was not a draws situation.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And on we'll get to Dynamite this week, but it was a decent show, should have been better. But again, Tony needs to look at, you know, for Tony Khan, who owns part of the NFL, right? Parts of the Jacksonville Jaguars, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
He should know about fucking player safety, right? Maybe?
Not necessarily. He's an office guy.
Oh, well. Well, there's that. But even so, sad. But Monday Night Raw was, again, a damn good show going into WrestleMania. You know, as we're heading down the road to it, you see. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, the show opened up with Cody Rhodes and this guy, if you have him.
Monday Night Raw and full effect, baby.
Okay, Seth coined one of the dumbest fucking nicknames, Diarrhea Dwayne, because of the 21-minute promo. Okay, it worked, but it's dumb. Okay, and they said, I'll explain it to you in a bit, Nikki, but you said that you caught something.
Yes. When Seth and Cody were talking about going to SmackDown and working with
each
other.
By the way, are you still watching or not?
I've got it muted, and Roman and company are headed to the ring now.
Oh, okay, fine. Okay. Go ahead.
When they were talking, there was Seth asked the question. I've got your back, Cody. Do you have mine?
Mm-hmm.
Cody didn't answer Seth's question. Cody said something along the lines of, let me find it again. Well, here we go. Seth, I'm glad you have my back. I'm looking forward to coming with you to SmackDown so I can get in The Rock's face.
Okay. Right.
He didn't say whether or not he had Seth's back.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Cody said, don't ever talk about my dog.
What's wrong with Pharaoh?
Nothing's wrong with Pharaoh. He's a good boy. Okay.
He's a very good boy. Just make sure he stays away from the pyro, poor guy.
Mm-hmm. Right, and then we had the Intercontinental match with Dominic Mysterio, who I actually hold on a second. Anyway, so. Poor Dominic. Oh my god. Gunther chopped the ever loving shit out of Dominic. Oh my god.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another? Thank you, sir. May I have another?
Oh.
And the people were happy.
Good thing Dominic was wearing a freaking shirt.
Yes.
And chop him till he bleeds, Gunther.
Yes, and he did. Okay, he did. So, Oh my goodness.
Dom took so Gunther, Dom took an ass to make me proud.
Right. So Gunther wins, and then basically everybody in the back is going, Pierce, I want a shot. Pierce, I want a shot. Gable's like, it means a lot to me. You know, everybody, you get a shot. You get a shot.
You get a shot.
But that's not happening. Something does not feel right to me. Because they're doing a six-way gauntlet match for the shot at Gunther at WrestleMania.
Ladder match.
Yes, thank you. Yes, that's what I. Thank you, Josh. That's what I wanted, but we didn't get it.
Not yet. Now remember, you can schmoz a gauntlet match.
Oh.
Please, Gunther has buddies.
Uh huh. Oh yeah.
Him and Vinci and Kaiser can really fuck things up, and Pierce won't put up with it.
Ladder match.
It's Ricochet, Gable, Bronson Reed,
Shinsuke.
JD McDonough, Shinsuke, and oh man,
I don't have the list in front of me, but I'm watching the electricity in the arena.
Literally, yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Ricochet, JD, Gable, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke, and Bronson.
Right. Okay. And because Zayn defeated Ivar, Judgment Day beat Imperium, and then Andrade beat Apollo Crews. Who that? You know, hey, welcome back. Okay.
Yeah.
And then you had Becky Lynch defeating Nia Jax. Oh, no, Jax defeated Lynch via disqualification because Liv Morgan said, fuck you. I'm not done with you yet. So do you think we're going to get a three-way at Mania between those three? Oh, no, Becky's...
It'd be a four-way if Nia... If it's like, it'd be a four-way. It'd be Rhea, Nia, Liv, and Becky.
I don't know.
No, I don't see that.
No.
I don't see that. They could tweak something so Liv has to carry Nia. I mean, Liv and Nia need to face off at some point just because they keep getting in each other's way.
Mm-hmm. And then, of course, Drew McIntyre, who, God love him, he's fucking amazing. Oh my god, he's the biggest fucking troll. Do you know what he's been doing? Okay, first of all, number one, after the end of Raw, he plays Cult of Personality out the windows with his stereo on his rental car. Okay. Okay, but Dude. Then yeah, go ahead,
Doofus.
And then he actually quoted the CM Punk All Out speech against Seth Rollins. He's so good. I bet you CM Punk is feeding him shit.
Do this. They'll hate you. Do this too. They'll hate it even more.
Right. And then Drew. God.
I was about to say it's not only that, but it's Drew's timing as well. After he kicked Seth's head off, Seth's head off and said, "Don't you dare taint this title and focus on rocking that. You focus on me." He waited until he didn't get out of the ring straight away. He waited at the ropes for the fans to start chanting CM Punk because he knew it was coming.
Mm-hmm.
And as soon as they started chanting it, that's when he left.
Don't disappoint me.
He better have signed. I hope he signed. I really did. But they're also setting up the Usos match for WrestleMania. Oh, yes. Dear God. Yes.
Yes. Cannot wait. And that if they're not going to use tribal combat for any of Roman's matches, I want the Usos using tribal combat. Mm-hmm. I want them to come out and face paint and do the whole nine yards.
Mm-hmm.
But that's just me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So NXT. Oh, so John Cena was also on Tonight Show this week promoting Ricky Stenicki. By the way, the OnlyFans page is just hilarious.
Yeah,
it's great.
I'm afraid to ask.
No, boy.
You know, he's doing things like when he says, he's basically saying, you know, he's using sexual terms to do family friendly things on the OnlyFans page. Like he shows his money shot. He takes a picture of a dollar bill on his phone. Things like that.
Essentially, it's there is somebody out there, or a few used to be out there, but he has since left the sites known as, I don't know if I want to say his name because it is a bit dirty. Okay. Ryan Creamer.
Okay.
He was very much a wholesome person on certain sites. As in, he would be in videos with real adult video stars, but doing positively rated G things.
Aha! Okay. That's kind of cool.
Yeah. So it's the same type of thing that Cena's doing with the Ricky Stenicki account.
Okay. So we then had NXT Roadblock on Tuesday. And the main thing that happened at NXT Roadblock was that Tony D'Angelo was the number one contender to Ilya, but Trick Williams came back and is beating up Melo, setting up for Stand and Deliver.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Gacy lost to Dijak in the Asylum match. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I hope it was better than the one that Dean and Jericho did.
It looked, yes. Mm-hmm. The Wolf Dogs defeated Chase U. Sean Spears made his return.
Sean Spears won his debut match.
Yep. Oh, and here's a little meta for you. William Regal made his appearance on TV and challenges Charlie Dempsey to defend the Heritage Cup with honor. Okay.
Mm.
And then he goes, I'll defend this cup better than you ever could. Oh, man.
Ouch.
Shots fired at Daddy.
Yes.
Do not poke the villain.
Yes.
Even if the villain is your dad.
Especially
if the villain is your dad.
Yeah. And then, of course, the chance of ranted even before he started. That's your father. Clap, clap, clap. Ariana Grace challenged Gigi Dolan to wrestle next week, and if Dolan loses, she would be need to taught by Grace how to be a proper lady. Yes. Santino is gonna do it. Yeah, Santino is gonna do it again. And then so Trick and Mello are gonna go one-on-one at Stand and Deliver. That's gonna be excellent. So, AEW Dynamite debuted a new set this week, and a new logo.
New graphics, new everything.
Yeah, yep. I saw some of the new Chiron. It looked great.
It really looked good. It really looked good. And so the main...
If only the matches were as good as the look of the arena.
Yeah, well...
I'd say baby steps, but we've been here before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because the big news was that, Kashka Okada is officially All Elite.
Yeah.
Good.
As part of a promo where the Bucks kicked both Paige and Kenny out of the Elite.
Well, they suspended Paige from the Elite indefinitely, but they straight up fired Omega from the Elite.
Yes, for quote unquote not appearing as many times as they're contractually obligated. Of course, you know, he's actually streaming Twitch and had, and he's still really sick, Kenny. He's not doing well.
He had an emergency procedure this week, didn't he?
Something like that, yes.
But like I told you, diverticulitis. Oh God.
Yeah.
That would suck. But this, like I mentioned to you, Jason, essentially the Bucks doing that to Omega, they're asshole owners. They're going to be like that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, well, as a matter of fact, speaking of asshole owners, we'll talk about that on SmackDown because somebody used their power card.
Let's keep going because I haven't gotten it. So Eddie comes down. He's pissed. And he's like, you want to buy me? Throws money in their faces. Go ahead and buy me. I'm going to say what I want. And then
you're pieces of shit. You're crap.
And then fight. And then suddenly Okada's music hits. Okada comes down wearing a suit, stands next to Eddie. Looks like it's going to be Eddie and Okada and the Bucks face off. Okada grabs his arm, Rainmaker.
It was not the best Rainmaker he's done. That was very, it was, I think I would say partial botch because Eddie could have easily avoided that. I'll go one step further. 76-year-old Ric Flair could have fucking avoided that shit.
Oh, gee. Yeah, it was that bad.
Also, I really am not convinced by the Bucks' low blow game. It's like, Flair, I could understand going light on the low blow, but Eddie?
Like, really? this is a guy you're supposed to hate. Like,
Is there a reason why? Go ahead.
No, go ahead. Keep going.
I'm watching the main event now. I have the volume off. Why is Seth Rollins wearing Big Show's winter jacket?
Don't know.
No, seriously, that's what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
Who? By the way, who's on the mic right now for that?
Cody.
Part? Okay, so we're getting close to. Actually, no, we're not getting close. We're still a good portion of that before we can really talk about that. What else did we have from Dynamite?
They talked about the fact that let's see. We had the opening promo where Swerve really turned face, kinda, and Samoa Joe is like, come after me, man. It's all right. It's all good. And he and Samoa Joe teamed up and crushed the Undisputed Kingdom. That would be Mike Bennett and Matt Taven. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then Wardlow came out. And basically,
that's what we forgot.
What's that?
The third member of the four to come back.
Oh, that's right. Kyle O'Reilly came back.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Welcome
he was
back.
Given an Undisputed Kingdom shirt, and they're like, and he's like, no. No.
Good to see you, Rod.
Well, first off, he came in looking like Hobo Dan, and everyone's like, what the fuck? and then him and Roderick hug, and everyone thinks, yes, he's in the kingdom. And then they give him a shirt, and he throws it back at them and says, no, and leaves. It's like, what?
Tune in next week.
No. He did an interview and basically said, I have to do it on my own. He said, being with my friends is cool, but I got to do this on my own. I got to. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah. So now comes the question. Does Mr. Fish come back?
Will they let him come back?
Yeah, Bobby Fish is a wild draw. I don't know if they'll take him or not, but.
Okay, Rock's talking and he's pointing angrily.
Mm-hmm. When like, should I unmute? Don't you make fun of my vest, you cross-dresser?
It's like, yeah, unmute when Seth interrupts.
Okay.
Yeah, you should hear it live because it's great.
Okay, I'm keeping my eye on Seth. Like I said, he looks like he's wearing a Big Show's winter jacket.
Mm-hmm. Hook beat Brian Cage, which was great. Okay. And then Hook was at
except for something happening.
That one of those points.
Oh.
The unprotected shots.
Oh right, there were five of them. Hook hit.
I don't know if it was you or VRM, but one of you was very pissed.
I was very pissed because Hook hit Brian Cage with five shots to the head, unprotected with a garbage can lid. Unfucking protected.
Okay, whoa, hang on.
All right,
I thought it was with a fucking chair, like a garbage can lid, like you know that those materials are fucking meh.
Yeah,
garbage can lids are like the ones they usually use are this really flimsy aluminum. I've swung one.
Yeah, it's like garbage. If it's a garbage can lid, those things that they are like next to tinfoil in terms of how. Mm-hmm. It's like they're rigid enough that they'll make the sound and everything, and they'll bend, but they bend so easily, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's why when I had to swing it, they told me both hands,
because
it would catch air. Oop. Yeah. Seth is about to speak.
Go ahead, listen. Play it loud.
Mr. Midlife Crisis.
Yep.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Attaboy.
Mm-hmm. And look at what Roman said. Done. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Aha. Cheap.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
They're not my wife's clothes.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What's he saying?
The story's over. It's done for now. Rock, tell you something.
And what? Receipt.
Oh shit!
What is the oh shit in question?
He just dropped the bomb that he's using his power playing.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. We're gonna get to that once we're done.
Isn't it true?
Mm-hmm. By the way, we are listening live to the Rock Roman promo on SmackDown tonight. Rock Roman, Seth, Cody.
Oh no! They put up the indicia. There it is.
And there's the receipt. And they cut immediately.
We're still on. Wow.
Is it done?
Yeah, I just finished. Because okay. Rock looked like he was trying not to laugh.
Yeah, I know.
After he got slapped, and Roman's like, no. We don't have to do any more of this. The show's over.
Mm-hmm. So it is official. Now we can talk about it now.
Yes.
Okay. Late in SmackDown, Roman and The Rock with his new electrifying entrance, which, by the way, is epically cool, I might add. Okay. Come out and... eventually, Seth and Cody come out.
Through the crowd.
And through the audience, mind you. Not the normal entranceway. Okay.
But did they come down the stairs?
Yes, they did.
Seth, I know you have shield gear in your suitcase. Stop it.
It was okay. So, Seth basically called Rock Mr. Midlife Crisis,
which I liked,
and accepted the Bloodlines challenge. So, this is what's going to happen. If Rollins and Rhodes win, the Bloodline are banned from Roman and Cody on night two. If Rock and Reigns win, the Cody-Roman bout will be held under Bloodline rules. But... Rock added another stipulation to this, and he waved his 900-pound Samoan penis around. His corporate penis.
Uh-oh.
Correct?
Yes.
Yep.
He said, if Cody does not win at WrestleMania 40, he will never go after the title again.
Not again.
I was going to say, I've heard this story before.
But this time, Cody can't book himself that way.
Yep. True.
Okay. And the fact is that when Rock turns on Roman, and he will, because that's going to set up Rock Roman at SummerSlam, you see, in Detroit. So, yeah. For the head of the table. That being, I mean, the setup for these two nights are, you know, as I said, Helen Keller can predict this, okay? Rock will pin Seth, correct? Or will Rock pin Cody?
Will pin Seth, because I'm gonna throw another piece in here.
Okay, go for it.
As you know, it's, you know, the underlying theme of WrestleMania seems to be something about family.
Right.
Roman has more than one family, you know.
Oh.
If Rock pins Seth, then Rock turns on Roman. Seth sides with Roman.
What?
Oh, Nikki's not the only one that has that theory going.
What? That Seth is going to...
Seth's going to screw Cody, yeah.
Seth's going to screw Cody and side with Roman. Roman is going to be turning face because The Rock is the evil corporate guy.
Mm-hmm.
So you have a pseudo-Shield reunion going on, and this is not my blue glasses, and it's not my Roman-colored glasses. Some of them have made Shield references.
Right, but what I'm asking is, are you saying that Cody is not going to win at WrestleMania?
I would laugh really, really hard if he didn't. But I think what should happen is that, you know, all the cards are going to be stacked up against him. He's going to finish his story by having to go through all of that shit.
Mm-hmm.
He has to go through the bloodline. He has to go through Heyman. He has to go through however many members of the family show up otherwise. Mm-hmm. This would be a great place for Rock to, you know, for Rock and Roman to bring in, you know, like Lance and, you know, a bunch of the other family.
Mm-hmm.
The only family that won't be out there are the Usos, because they're going to kill each other.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, Seth screws Cody, Rock screws Roman. Rock is now the evil corporate guy. Seth and Roman band together, and Cody's like, "What happened?"
But
go ahead, Shane.
I was gonna say, but will it be received as that? Because remember, Roman's the guy that everybody wants the belt off. Like, they've been, you get thousands of fans who were saying that they want the belt off Roman yesterday. So if Rock screws Roman, will he get a heel reaction, or will he get the, like, huge baby face reaction?
Oh, baby face.
Well, no. Well, like I said, Cody's going to go through all that nonsense, and he's probably going to win. Which, you know, at that point, the bloodline, no longer with a meal ticket, will abandon Roman.
Oh, okay, I get you. You're saying after the match, after Cody wins, yeah, then they'll turn on him, sort of like Rock did with Farouk. Okay.
Yeah, same idea. So, no, it's not all going to happen at Mania. Cody's going to finish his story.
Mm-hmm.
Seth and Drew, I have no idea. I could flip a coin on that one.
No. Excuse me. Two words, Damian Priest. He's catching in.
That's true. And yeah, that would set up a lovely feud with him and Finn Balor.
Mm-hmm.
Please. Pretty please. Anyway. But yeah, the bloodline abandons Roman because they've lost the meal ticket. Even though I still want Roman to break Hogan's record. That's just me. But yeah, Roman has more than one family. He has family by love, family by blood, and family by the business.
So, speaking of family, and, you know, wrestling has more than one royal, Cody Rhodes' bus has been rewrapped, because we have the WWE's first or very rare alcohol sponsor.
Excuse me?
What?
The WWE is being sponsored by Wheatley Vodka. And again, Wheatley is actually doing a contest where you can, which it started, it's running through the end of the year. There's going to be two grand prizes, one trip to WrestleMania and one trip to Survivor Series. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And there's going to be winners of tickets to the WWE events from March through July, actually, including the one in Columbus on April 22nd.
That I probably can't go to.
Okay. There's one in Cincinnati, one's in Kansas City. And they're also giving away tickets to the April 1st Raw in Brooklyn, the one right before, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, they're doing that. And, of course, they've also got a thing with Swim Gym as well. So,
of course.
So that is cool. But also, LA Knight and AJ are still looking for each other. Mm-hmm. Okay. We had, okay, in the opening segment, Logan Paul came out. And by the way, this is a real deal. Their prime drink is going to be the ring sponsor for all their premium live events, per se. I'm sorry.
Pay-per-view, you coward! Anyway.
Yeah.
Okay. So KSI, remember him?
Yep. Yeah.
Flew in all the way into England to get RKO'd by Randy Orton. And by the way, they ruined the spot because the, what's his face? The big camera on the bottom was in the way, so he couldn't roll out that quickly, so he had to move. But KSI took a great RKO.
Yeah.
It was awesome. It was terrific.
Yeah, by the way.
Baby oil.
Yes. So they're setting up that show. They're setting up that match, which is Orton Paul for the U.S. title.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. Legado and Legado and LWO had a great because Dragon Lee beat who did he beat? He beat Umberto. One he beat somebody. He didn't beat
I think he beat Garza.
Yeah, he beat Garza, I think. Yeah. But that was really good. What else? Damage Control had this certain promos, and Bianca's like, F that bitch. She's getting what she deserved. Okay. Yeah. But I'm telling you that they are really setting up for some. Oh, yeah. So then Orton and Owens had a great match between Waller and Austin Theory. Oh, good grief. And Orton almost, I mean, Owens almost hit Orton with the Nux. But, oh, and that, there was a sweet pop-up RKO. That was great. Did you see that one? Oh, that was awesome.
I will go back and rewatch.
Oh, by the way,
I'm with the volume up.
Do you think we're going to get a triple threat, or do you think we're just going to get two of them?
Throwing Kevin Owens at the mix would be kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
I'd be okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Lashley and Cross were, that was a little DQ stuff. So we're getting a six-man tag, I think, at WrestleMania there. Oh, yeah. And by the way, Tiffany Stratton, I got to tell you, you better strap the rocket to her. She's fantastic.
Yeah.
My God. My God. I mean, do you put her against the winner of the Bayley Io Sky, and do you take the belt off that quickly, or not yet?
Not yet.
No, Tiffy's being rumored to be a favorite to win the women's Money in the Bank match. So
yeah,
let's go with that. I'd go with that.
So she wins women's Money in the Bank, and then apparently Sammy's rumored to be winning the men's Money in the Bank. So,
ooh, okay.
Sign me up.
Right. So we have the WrestleMania 40 card at the moment is looking something like this. WrestleMania 40. Let's see.
So we have our two main events.
Right. We have, let's see, we have six matches set, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We have the tag team match, which is going to main event night one, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Then, of course, Seth Drew, Reigns, Cody, both on night two, okay? Io versus Bayley, Rhea versus Becky, Gunther versus whoever wins the gauntlet match. Okay. Yeah. So how many other matches do you think we can predict right now? at the moment.
Well, we mentioned earlier. We mentioned earlier about Orton and Logan.
Right. Orton Logan or Orton Logan Kevin, one of the two. Okay.
Mm-hmm. AJ LA Knight.
Yes. Right, AJ LA Knight. Right.
AJ the six LA man. Knight. The six man that'll be on the kickoff.
Mm-hmm. You think that's going to be on the kickoff show? Really?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
I imagine okay. Judgment Day is going to have something to do.
Well, they've got a unified tag team match. Got to do something.
Well, that was the thing. Like, originally it was rumored that it was going to be Brock Lesnar versus Dominic at Mania, but then with everything that happened with Brock, that got shifted. So I thought that they were going to go with Dominic versus Gunther for the IC title at Mania. So it gives Judgment Day something to do. But looks like they're going with potentially Gunther versus Gable and finishing Gable's story. I don't know.
I would love to see that.
I would pay good money to see that.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the fact we have the gauntlet match. I think it's Gunther versus everybody.
Hmm. Yeah. Like I said, shit's going to go down. Pierce is going to lose patience. He's going to be mad at Gunther, and he's going to say, "We don't need this gauntlet match. They're all coming for you."
Just imagine if Tama Tonga comes out during that IC title match and just takes out. Oh, sorry, comes out during that gauntlet match and just takes out everybody. And it's like, okay, there's your ladder match.
It's gonna be fun, people.
Yep.
I mean, look, wrestling's on a roll right now. It really, you know, I mean, Rock, for all his dickness, he's right. Wrestling's cool again.
Mm-hmm.
Wrestling is effing cool.
Yeah, but you know what's not cool?
Oh yeah, we gotta go. Hit it.
What's that?
In the professional wrestling system, there are three separate yet equally important groups. The promoters and bookers who attempt to put on entertaining events. The professional wrestlers who occasionally do extremely stupid and or illegal things in public. And the internet journalists and podcasters who have to talk about them. These are their stories.
So, Daniel Rodimer. Okay, who has retired from professional wrestling. Remember, he was on Tough Enough for a cup of coffee,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
he was on Tough Enough, and he also did the house show circuits, because I do remember seeing him.
Okay. Same, and I just, I didn't recognize him at the house shows.
Mm-hmm.
He was just a stretched out Randy Orton with none of the talent.
Yes.
That's being fucking generous. Daniel Rodimer went from Mr. Long curly haired beach, average looking beach dude motherfucker to basically a blonde version of Mark Jindrak. Like, it's like fucking shaved, cut his hair short, and it's just like Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually got a congressional bid that failed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Republican. Yeah, Republican. He was a former Republican congressional candidate. But he surrendered to police in Nevada on Wednesday, according to CBSNews.com, after a warrant was issued for his arrest and the killing of a man who was acquitted of murder himself, who died last year from a head injury at a Las Vegas Strip hotel, his lawyers said. The Las Vegas Metropolitan, again reading from CBSNews.com, the Las Vegas Metropolitan Police Department said earlier in the day a warrant had been issued for 45-year-old Daniel Rodimer on a charge of open murder in the death of Chris Tapp, who previously served 2 decades in prison for a murder he did not commit. On October 29th, Tapp, who was 47, was treated by medical personnel responding to a call for help after he was found at the hotel and taken to a hospital where he later passed on. Police said detectives opened a suspicious death investigation after they received new information on November 22nd about the injuries Tapp had suffered as a result of a purposed accident. Through the course of a suspicious death investigation, detectives have learned that Tapp was in an altercation inside a room at the result before located and transported to the hotel. Roderman's lawyer said that he was voluntarily surrendering to authorities and will post a court-ordered bail. He intends on vigorously contesting the and ask that the presumption of innocence guaranteed all Americans be respected. According to the arrest, the Clark County Coroner's Office subsequently ruled it a homicide as a result of blunt force trauma to the head. According to the arrest warrant obtained by CBS affiliate KLS-TV Channel 8, Roderman allegedly became upset after Tapp offered Roderman's stepdaughter cocaine. A witness heard Roderman say, "If you ever talk to my daughter again, I'll fucking kill you," document said. Immediately after hearing Dad say this to Christopher, the witness heard two loud banging noises. Okay. And they also reported that investigators obtained text messages between Roderman and his wife, where Sarah Roderman said, "I watched you nearly murder somebody and had to take your fucking hands off from his neck as he laid there and you ran away, and I spent the next 2 hours trying to take care of him. No one should have to watch their husband murder somebody." And it goes on. Okay. Crazy. Just insane.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yes, and he lost by about 13,000 votes. And there's a 48-hour story about this, but this ain't going away by any stretch of the imagination. Just sad.
Yep.
So, I think we should end on a happier note. Let's see if we can find one. Well, John Cena says he might be attending WrestleMania. Oh, so, okay, let me ask you this. It's the 40th anniversary of WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Who of the big people within the WWE over the past 40 years shows up?
Let's see.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
That's guaranteed. He's going to be there.
He's going to be there because he's okay with them. Him, Shawn Michaels, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm. Austin.
Have a nice day.
Foley, yep. Undertaker, Taker, of course.
Yeah, well, actually, he's doing a One Dead Man show in Philly that week. So
right. you know. No, I'm just talking some of the big people, you know.
Brett, yeah.
Ric Flair is not allowed.
Do you think any of the AEW people show up? No.
They'll be there.
I'll be in attendance, hoping that cameras don't pan to them, but.
mm-hmm. No, they'll just hide. They will hide way deep in backstage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Up in nosebleeds.
Oh, please don't hide nosebleeds. It didn't work for Bayley and Sasha at an AEW show.
Well,
it wasn't AEW, it was TNA. Mm-hmm.
Well, was it TNA? Yeah, but speaking of, thank you for that segue. We are getting the debut, probably of Mercedes Moné next week, right? At Big Business in Boston.
I don't know. If you watch the press conference, I'm pretty sure Tony Storm made it pretty clear she was fighting Wendy Richter at the event. So,
oh my God! Yeah. Oh, she's so funny. Yes. But we're going to get a lot. We're going to get a lot of, you know, I mean, God. You think, yeah, Mox won't show up. I mean, he'll crash the party, you know.
You really want to hurt my brain. I want him to come out there and try to break up Roman and Seth.
You're going to, okay. You keep saying it until you think it's going to happen. I know.
You notice that Mox hasn't been doing, took care of his job, his stuff with FTR, and is in between jobs right now.
I mean, if look, let's be realistic here. If Tony and Paul were as smart of businessmen as they say they are, now that Vince is 100% out of the picture, I'm picking up the phone. I'm making phone calls. And I'm saying, hey, Tony, do you mind if I borrow John for one night in Philly? Because I have a great WrestleMania moment in mind that would blow people's minds, and that's of the Shield powerbombing the fucking Rock in the middle of this ring.
Again.
Again. There was that one night in San Jose, by the way.
Yeah, it was one night in San Jose, but this is now High Chief Rock, Tribal Douche Rock, that needs to be
put in. Corporate Douche Rock. Corporate Douche Rock.
Corporate Douche Rock against the Tribal Chief, the Visionary, and the
American Nightmare. If you
zoomed in, someone actually zoomed in on Rock's family tree. He's claimed himself as High Chief.
Oh, then he needs to be powerbombed more than once.
But I mean, I was thinking, okay, do you get Bryan Danielson? Do you get them?
Danielson's one. If I'm fantasy booking this shit, if you really want me fantasy booking it,
of course I do. Of course we do. Excuse me, not I, we.
If you want me fantasy booking it. Have Gunther win his match? Because I should ask that question. When's Bash at Berlin?
In July.
Yep.
Okay, well that doesn't work for Mania then.
No. And by the way, I'm gonna need Finn for a second after this. During Dynamite, they ended with. And have set up for Collision, which is taped this week, the first match for the new pay-per-view AEW Dynasty, Will Ospreay versus Bryan Danielson.
Yeah, well, Ospreay was the next person on Danielson's dream list for who he wanted to face.
Shut up and take my money. Yep.
If we're fantasy booking it, yeah, I would have Gunther win the match and then have Danielson come out to set up Gunther versus Danielson for the IC Championship in France, a Backlash in France. Because right there would sell out tickets alone.
Only if Danielson does his Southpaw wrestling character, Rene Barret.
Oh, Jesus. Hang on. I got one better. Have Gunther beat whoever he's going to beat at Mania. And then after the match, have the French phenom Rene Dupree come out and make a return. And then have Rene Dupree versus Gunther. Sorry, I had to.
No, you're fine.
And bring Fifi with him.
So that Cole can comment, look, Fifi got her nails done.
Huh?
He actually said that on a SmackDown. Dupree came out with the poodle.
Uh-huh.
And Cole said, Fifi got her nails done. And I was waiting for Taz to just suck the shit out of him for it.
I don't understand what you're talking about.
The dog.
The fact what that dog? Cole, the Cole, Rene Dupree used to come out with a standard poodle.
Yep. Yeah.
And that poodle's name was Fifi. Why the hell is Cole looking at the dog's toenails?
Oh, speaking of which, Michael Cole is a fucking doofus.
Yes.
During the Ivar Sami Zayn match, he got to wear the deer, the antlers.
Yes. Oh my God, that was awesome.
Yeah.
That was freaking great. Oh, and by the way, Pat McAfee might have gotten a few fines this week.
Now what?
No, he called somebody an asshole on live TV.
And?
On cable.
I was asking.
You know what? He made more money in the few seconds he said it to pay that fine.
Mm-hmm. If there is a fine.
If there is one, because Hunter high-five him.
Well, there's a hot rumor going around. Speaking of which, there's a hot rumor going around that there's drama at ESPN with Pat McAfee.
Oh.
Interesting.
According to the New York Post, and again, take that for what you will, because the New York Post has gone down way from... Okay. Oh, yes. According to according to the Post, tempers flared in an explosive argument in a recent phone call between two of ESPN's highest profile personalities. The Post has learned that a private conversation several weeks ago between Pat McAfee and Stephen A. Smith got heated where McAfee called Smith a motherfucker. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The dispute arose between creative differences involving a yet-to-announce project from Stephen A. Smith as executive producer that will ultimately air on ESPN. Okay? And that Smith has banned McAfee from First Take. Oh, poor.
Okay. What? According to Awful Announcing, mm-hmm. both Pat and Stephen have denied that rumor, at least the being banned from appearing on First Take rumor.
Okay. Smith said, Smith told the Post, we have no issue, and the notion that he'd be banned from First Take is BS.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And we are number one, and he has absolutely contributed us being number one. McAfee was asked to come on each Tuesday through the Super Bowl, and he did just that. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So, who knows? They're trying to start shit. I mean, really? Seriously, though? I mean, because Pat McAfee has been great with Michael Cole. Oh, and by the way, I love the new commentary team of Barrett and Graves. Graves has stepped shit up. He really has.
Yeah. And they both sound like they're having way too much fun.
Mm-hmm.
And when the commentators are having fun, then the commentary is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, actually, the commentators are thanking Triple H for that because apparently, unlike Vince, Paul's not in their ear every 5 seconds telling them what to say or how to say it. He's just letting them fly.
As he should.
You mean, yeah? Okay.
Because remember, there's been plenty of videos out there of Michael Cole going, oh, how do you want me to say this, Vince? How do you want this done, Vince?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Apparently now everyone's having fun, and it shows Michael Cole like nearly had an orgasm on live TV over antlers. Like, if that doesn't tell you people are having fun, I don't know what is.
Mm-hmm. Not to mention the video that WWE released with basically with all of Cole's big reactions in the last few months.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, because Cole has been great. You know who's also been great? Samantha Irwin.
Oh.
Well, they're letting her announce her way. That's going to be her trademark.
Oh, mm-hmm. Because fans were demanding it. They were pissed when the Chelsea Green name got... Chelsea Green intro got got stopped, and she started saying it normally, like Chelsea Green instead of Chelsea Green.
Yes, yeah. And Michael Cole did it, and she's like, "Don't quit your day." Pat said, "Don't quit your day job," or something to that effect. You know,
only because Michael Cole hit puberty again.
Yeah, exactly. But again, wrestling is on a roll, and the unfortunately, I mean, look, AEW just needs to tighten its own ship. And remember, they've got two of the biggest people out injured for a long time, and that's MJF and Omega.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah.
And once they get them back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if they will get Omega back.
I
don't know if they'll get Omega back. Like, at least not at 100% Kenny Omega, like the fans would want. Because, like I said, I just went and did live research myself. He's been diagnosed with diverticulitis, and he's going through antibiotic treatments currently. Which is said to be effective currently. But yeah, he's had way too many injuries because he's been doing his high intensity style of wrestling for so many years. So with another injury, I don't know if he comes back. Like, everyone wants him to come back because obviously Okada's now in AEW and they want to see that match one more time in the States.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the day, you got to ask what's more important, a man's health or the money that a match is going to bring in.
Right.
So at the end of the day, it's Kenny's decision, but if I'm in his position, I'm not coming back because this diverticulitis would be enough to have me go, okay, I think my body's trying to tell me.
Well, didn't Brock have it and he came back and still kicked ass?
Brock is a freak of nature.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So Kenny Omega got hit with it when he's a little bit older, a little more banged up. Yeah, this is going to be a coin flip once he starts, you know, once he gets better.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because when Brock got it. Oh, couple up. Oh, yep.
All right, fine. Okay. Let's do it very quick because that's no problem. All right, Nikki, why don't you just, since your tablet's about to go bye-bye, quickly do your artist shout-out, shall we?
Yeah, let me first take a shout-out to our panelist, Jamie Cloutier, who has gotten some interesting news regarding her artwork. I cannot go into details because I don't know if it's actually going to happen. I was just flipping through Twitter, and Nahal Tahes, as I mentioned, did a speed draw of Goku as tribute to Toriyama Sensei. Mm-hmm. If you want to check him out on Twitter, you said Otana do a tribute?
No, he didn't do a tribute, but his style is definitely. You know.
Oh yeah, so definitely them. The usual shout out to Oniwambashu and to Tapla. If you like a wrestler that can draw.
Mm-hmm.
But just real quick, if you do commission art, pay well, show it off, and credit the artist. So if you'll excuse me, guys, before it just dies, I'm going to go.
All right, no problem. Right. We'll see you, Nick. Josh, there's some knickknacks, some big knickknacks coming up, right?
Yes, episode 100 has just happened. That would be Clarissa Explains It All. The next episode up, The Adventures of Pete and Pete. So you can find all of that on youtube.com/poparena. And then this week on, it was a thing on TV, two episodes, the last two episode week for a while, because they are going to calm down. Easy Street, a show starring Lonnie Anderson from the late 1980s, lasted one season. And the start of Lost in Translation Week with Days Like These, a British version of That 70s Show, done by the same people who brought you it, but this was not That 70s Show. It lasted exactly 10 episodes. Mm-hmm. Next week, one episode, and it's a turkey I have seen. Iron Chef USA.
Oh, God. Oh, dear God.
UPN. Mm. I remember seeing this live. I was disappointed that there was no third episode because I was like, huh, this is interesting because I loved Iron Chef the original over on Food Network. After all, it exploded in popularity in the late 90s, and it got even bigger in 2001 because, well, of a very certain big event that happened in New York City at that point, if you know what I mean. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Food Network became a massive juggernaut, and so much so that UPN wanted a piece of that. The problem is, they did not get the formula right.
No, but eventually Food Network did.
Yes, 4 years later with Iron Chef America. Correct. So you can find all of that on itwasathingontv.com, ever so slowly getting to 100,000 downloads.
Yes. VRM, we actually had a little bit of a convo about football, American football, that is.
Yes, because it's coming up to the new league year, and Jason, please no, please no, please no.
What? I'm not saying anything.
No, no, no. There was a conversation on the radio today as I was driving to work.
Yes.
Reportedly, Russell Wilson's in exploratory talks with the Giants.
Yeah, but that's they're going to Pittsburgh. That's
not the main one.
No, Pittsburgh.
He's also in a I am believing he's headed to Pittsburgh. And Kenny Pickett will be playing backup permanently.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the new league year is upon us this Wednesday. Trades are getting written up. New contracts, franchise tags.
Mm-hmm.
Some people notably didn't get tagged.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And also, slight cut off there, but I'm glad Joey Votto has found something.
Yeah.
A shame it's with the Blue Jays, not the Reds. Fuck you, Castellanis.
Yes, I know. They with the Blue Jays. But we may be coming back this week on, on WLTI, we went to Deal or No Deal Island. We went to Survivor Island. We talked about the semi-finalists, and actually we have two of the three finalists, Ben Chan and Yogesh Raut. Our good friend Brian Henniger is playing in the semifinals on Monday against Luigi de Guzman and Troy Mayer.
Oh, boy, I watched that quarterfinal on Wednesday. Oh, Brian's got his work cut out for him.
Yeah, he does. We will see if he's a finalist or not. We will let know. We're going to play. We might play, what was it, Leave the Memories Alone or something like that. Never know.
For next week's episode?
It could be. We did a little shark watch, seeing if things on TV are got a lot of sharks or are smooth sailing, but that's on WLTI. By the way, on all your podcast apps right now, it is out, which I'm really happy about. So next week, VRM, we are going to be continuing the road to WrestleMania, the road to AEW Dynasty. Will Mercedes Moné debut? And how is WWE going to top this week? Because it was a big one. But we'll find that out. Nikki Heyman, who had to go. Shane, who, you know, Shane was just hanging out there. Stat Boy, and, of course, our sound guy, VRM. My name is Jason Block. We'll be back next week here on the North American Wrestling Connection. We will see you next week.
Amponi.